Good evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting for Bethlehem City Council for Monday, January 6, 2020, 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. Would all please rise for the invocation by Minister Mabel Humphrey of Grace Deliverance Baptist Church, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, Abba, most gracious God, we come to you tonight, O God, not only with our concerns, but things that you concern you also. Father, we ask tonight that your very presence will penetrate this room. We ask, O Father, that you would search each heart, O God, as they come, O God, to end one year and begin another. We know with each ending there is finality, because your word tells us that at the end of a thing, O God, always brings about a new thing. So we are praying tonight, O God, that this new season, that this new year of the Bethlehem Area City Council, O God, will start, O God, with you on their mind, being concerned about the things that concern you, being standing in integrity, O God. We ask, O God, that each member will search their own hearts, O God, knowing that they, O God, represent the very essence of who you are, your people. So we thank you, O Father, tonight as we begin this new year. We thank you for the service that you have allowed the ending of the new year for the council and the beginning, O God, of those people who will stand here tonight and take that oath of office. We ask, O God, that you guide them, that you be the light in their lives, and that everything, O God, that concerns them, that you will deliver according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Minister Humphrey. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Ms. Negron.
Presente.
Mr. Walder. I'm sorry, Mr. Reynolds.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Mr. Walder.
Present. Seeking approval of the minutes for November 19th, 2019. No comments, the minutes stand approved. I'd also like to announce a communication resolution related to a contract approval request that will be added to tonight's agenda. The resolution will be added as agenda item 10E. Will the clerk please read communication 6C to provide the public the opportunity to comment?
Memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with WSP for services related to preparation of a climate action plan. The contract shall run 13 months from the notice to proceed. The cost is $80,000. No renewals are anticipated.
Thank you. We'll be moving on to public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. We have several names signed up on the list, and then we will open it up to other members of council, or other members of the public who'd like to make comment. The first on our list is Arthur Caratola. Folks, just as a reminder, when you step up, if you give your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Artie Caratola from 813 Law for Speed in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I'm going to speak about is a health and safety issue that nobody should have to go what I went through on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. My house has a common trap for five other houses in my row. That means somebody could put something to stop up their toilet, but it don't stop up their toilet. It goes into my trap, and I get all the urine and feces and all that stuff in my basement about 3 inches or more. Christmas Eve, I came home, and I saw this in my basement. I was smelling the smell for weeks. Actually, my one cat died from it. Smelling this stuff, wondering what's going on. And I saw little piles of water underneath my cooler, my heater. I thought it was a hot water heater. Then when I saw all that mess, I quickly started getting buckets and shoveling them out, taking them up, putting them down the toilet. Well, that wasn't doing no good. because the thing is, I had to get a plumber to release the trap. It was just coming back in. And every time they flushed their toilet or did, it got higher and higher. This stuff went on and on until finally I got the plumber after I, you know, was taking the buckets and bringing them and throwing them out, you know. It was one mess. I got sick as a dog. I was on antibiotics from it and almost went to the hospital. Christmas Day, over 50 buckets I brought up the steps. Wow, you're saying I should be in great shape. I should probably be playing sports and some major team to be doing that. But anyway, I didn't care what it cost. I went ahead and I invested and got a professional cleaning crew. And fortunately, they said, I want to pay for it. They're going to make sure that the insurance company takes care of it. But how long do you think the insurance company is going to continue on with something like that? They're going to eventually put me into a risk category if it keeps happening. And it will keep happening. It's been happening about every year. I've been cleaning it up on my own because it's grandfathered in. They say it's grandfathered in. Well, it could be grandfathered in, but people got to be responsible for their own mess. I could be 150 years old with a 150-year-old horse, and I'm grandfather, great-great-grandfathered in. I could be riding my horse all over the city, and it could dump wherever it wants. No, not so. I need to clean up that mess. They are making the mess in my basement. They need to have it cleaned up. That is a health issue for the person and could be a health issue for the city. Because if I wound up in the hospital, all that mess could arose higher until it went out the windows of my house. And on a hot summer day, we would have flies and everything else in the city. We would have had the Bethlehem bubonic plague. You know, no, we don't need that. We don't need things happening. We don't need to be an issue with something like that. We need to address this problem. These people have to be responsible for their own mess. The city's responsible when they wind up having the horses, they dump, they get somebody to clean up the dump. The thing is, somebody goes ahead and dumps into your basement because they're flushing stuff down the toilet that don't belong. They need to get somebody to clean it up. Money needs to be put into escrow for something like that happening if they're going to use the common trap that's there, or they need to have a trap of their own. Also, it's a big cast iron pipe that goes separating my basement to my dirt cellar, which I could trip over one day. That's a safety issue. Now, the thing is, should I be responsible for putting that pipe underground? Why? It's servicing them, not me. They need to do that. That's another issue that needs to be taken care of. Because one day, I might trip over that and break my neck. I'm 71, not getting any younger. Sure, I could still do some things right now, but the thing is, what I want to get done is make sure our city gets on target and becomes the trendsetter for other cities. They were grandfathered in because those people that built those houses in the 20s and 30s and 40s, they all owned the same house all the row. But now they're owned by different people. People need to be responsible for their own mess. I hope the city's behind me on this. I hope I'm not going to be standing alone on this. We need to get this done. They need to put money in escrow and or get their own trap. God bless you all. I'm Artie Caratola. God bless.
Thank you, Mr. Caratola. The next name on our list, tough to tell here, looks like Shauna Brahms. I think we're also going to, in 2020, upgrade the pen that we have at the desk out there, too. So we can look forward to all of that.
Hi. This is the Bethlehem Moment. I'm Johanna Browns. I live 1727 Elm Street in Bethlehem. So, January 1873, 147 years ago, Lucy Evelyn Packer Linderman is recovering from a serious horse and carriage accident on the ice-covered what is now Packer Avenue, just down the hill from Lehigh University, founded by her father, Asa. She, at 41, and her sister, Mary Hannah Packer, at 34, are the two surviving female adults of Asa Packer's seven children. Lucy is considered beautiful, and an image of her with her stylish clothes and carefully coiffed and braided hair show a handsome woman, a leader of Bethlehem society, married to a doctor, Garrett Linderman, who showed up in the cholera epidemic some years before and is now a lieutenant in her father's businesses. An image of Mary, on the other hand, shows her as short, plump, with Coke bottle glasses and plainly dressed. At 34, she would be considered a spinster dedicated to serving her family's needs. A contemporary narrative says there were suitors who were anxious for the hand of Miss Packer, but she stubbornly avoided all advances in that direction. Mary was known as somewhat of a recluse. As a result of a childhood mishap and subsequent eye ailments that had led to her being blind in one eye and with limited vision in the other. Lucy survived the accident, but dies later that year in July of pneumonia, contracted as she attempted rehabilitation in a spa in mountains to the north. Asa Packer, grief-stricken, builds Linderman Library at Lehigh in Lucy's honor in 1875 and dies in 1879. And within 5 years, by 1884, all the remaining members of the Packer family, two brothers and Asa's wife, also pass. And Mary Hannah Packer is the only surviving member of the family. Mary may be reclusive and nearly blind, but she is not stupid. A woman ahead of her time, she recognizes that she cannot inherit the fabulous Packer fortune built on canal boats and what would become the Pennsylvania Railroad and Bethlehem Steel in her chosen, unmarried status. In order to take advantage of the then recently passed Women's Marriage Act, which guaranteed married women the right to inheritance, she enlists Charles Cummings, a former conductor on the railroad and a loyal family friend, to marry her. She pays him $100,000, worth about $2.5 million today, and has him sign one of the first prenuptial agreements in the state. Charles and Mary never lived together and divorced in 1893. Upon her marriage, Mary Hannah Packer Cummings, as the sole heir to the Packer fortune, inherits $54.5 million, worth about $1.5 billion today. She becomes the most wealthy woman in the country and second in wealth in the world to only Queen Victoria. She travels around the world 17 times. She becomes a philanthropist and is considered a bit of a bohemian, a patron of the arts, literature, and music. She builds Packard Church at Lehigh and supports the university well and repeatedly over the years. She also builds, among others, All Saints Episcopal Church down the hill from her house in Mauchonk, now Jim Thorpe, in 1906. Mary Hannah Packer Cummings died in 1912, the only member of her immediate family to see the 20th century. There are many accounts of sightings of her ghost, still short and plump, plainly dressed, and with Coke bottle glasses as she wanders about, checking out on the properties that she built. So I say women power, and yay Olga, go for it.
Thank you, Ms. Brahms. Next name on our list is Mary Toulouse.
Yes, my name is Mary Toulouse, and I live at 1528 West Market Street. And I'm here to talk about the reorganization and the city council presidency. And I first would like to thank outgoing president Adam Waldron for his steady hand of leadership over the last 2 years. And he's done a fine job. It's been a lot of work and very much appreciated. Looking forward to 2020, a new year and a new term, I would like to express my support for Olga Negron as the next president of City Council. Olga has been an outstanding council member for the last several years. She sponsored a number of important legislative initiatives and has served as a voice for a diverse number of communities and concerns within this city. Having worked for a law firm and having served as council vice president, she is well prepared and normally next in line to handle the job of president. And although there may be other willing and qualified candidates for president, this is 2020, the 100th anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment, a milestone in women's rights and women's rights to votes and responsibilities. Let's celebrate this anniversary in Bethlehem by electing Olga Negron to be president of council. She's super qualified, and I'm sure she would do an outstanding job. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Luce. Chris Woods?
Hi, my name is Chris Woods. I live at 521 East 5th Street. I, too, would like to voice support for Ms. Negron for City Council President. She's experienced, well-respected in the community. She is the voice that I hear everywhere I go in Southside of Bethlehem. She's the council member that I know who's in the community more than anyone else, and I believe she's the right person for the job. Thanks.
Thank you, Church.
Good evening, Peg Church, 435 Bryson Street. I'm another person saying that they are in support of Olga Negron in this leadership position. She's well qualified, experienced. She's a very good listener. She's accessible to all elements in the community and has good connections and background in the community. She's well qualified, and I think she would do very well. So please consider her.
Margarita Gonzalez.
Good evening to one and all. Very happy new year to everyone here present and to the council. And I'm here, my name is Margarita Gonzalez Rivera. And I've known Olga, 1349 Lynn Avenue. And I come to give my support to Olga, a dear friend, my sister, and just the best person to know. Any situation that you might have, you can go to Olga, and she doesn't have the answer for your situation. She'll always say, well, I might not know, but you know what? Just give me a little time, I'll get back to you. She responds because she cares. She comes from the heart. When I first met Olga and my husband and I met her, we were new to the community, and there was a group, PRCC. They did the Puerto Rican Festival. That's where we met her. She encouraged us to be a part of the community, to get involved with the community, to get to know people, introduced us to people, made us feel at home. And since that day, I've always said, Bethlehem is my second home. Bethlehem is a happening place. It is the place to be. But when you have people like Olga in your community, it makes you feel like, yeah, I made the right choice of moving here. I thank you, Olga, for your response to everyone. You're a loyal friend. You're a loyal community member. I think you are the best for the position, because you are always thinking of your community, of people of the community. And I know that you will do a great job because you've been doing it all along. Thank you, and we're there for you, Olga. You have our support, always. Thank you.
Santiago Rivera.
Good evening, everyone. Honorable Mayor Donchez, members of City Council, representatives of the administration, and citizens of Bethlehem. I rise to speak of my neighbor, friend, and current council member, current city councilwoman, Olga Negron. I met Olga in, I estimate, 2002-2003, when my wife and I first decided to relocate ourselves to the city of Bethlehem. I was told that if I wanted to get involved in my community, then I should go meet Olga Negron. At the time, Olga Negron, Guillermo Lopez, and Javier Toro were all on a mission to launch or relaunch the Puerto Rican Festival under the auspices of the PRCC, or Puerto Rican Cultural Coalition. As year one of this event turned into year two, and so forth and so on, I met more and more of my community members, and I also noticed one person start to lead the pack as a community organizer, and then later a community leader. That person that I saw rise through the ranks was Olga Negron. Since that time, sometime later, I saw Olga Negron become a city council woman designated. I'm not quite sure what that is, but she was chosen to be a member of the council. I guess you were invited in. I'm not sure how that works, but then later on, you were actually voted in, which was excellent. That represents the community support for you and the work that you do and the work that you've done for so many years for our community. I currently cannot think of anyone more committed to, an advocate for, or leadership driven to represent the people of the city of Bethlehem than Olga Negron. And that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Barbara Diamond.
Barbara Diamond, 425 Center Street. I also want to thank you for your service. I know this is a difficult job and a very time-consuming job, and not always easy. But I'm also here to speak in support of Olga Negron as hopefully your next president. I think a change in leadership would be valuable. One of the things that concerned me over the last several months is a breakdown in order and decorum in the way the meetings have been handled. So much so that this has been reported multiple times in the Morning Call, Lehigh Valley Live, covered by Bethlehem Gadfly, Bethlehem Press. For example, in a November 20th article in the Morning Call titled, Mayor Robert Donchez Criticizes Councilmen for Unwarranted Personal Attacks, the mayor is quoted as saying, while for the most part the meetings proceed normally, the departures are having a disproportionate negative impact on working relationships and council's reputation. Council members have been unfairly challenged to choose between engaging at the risk of escalation or answer with silence. So it's the responsibility of the president to assert control and to maintain decorum, and that hasn't happened. This matter is important for a number of reasons. As the mayor pointed out, the council has to work together to get business done. Divisiveness and rancor follow when personal attacks are tolerated. Comity and the ability to work collaboratively are undermined. Public confidence in government is also affected when this spills out into the public. The council's reputation is at stake. It's very important to follow rules to maintain order and respectful demeanor during meetings. This is the president's job. I believe that Councilwoman Negron is an excellent choice for president. As others have pointed out, She served as vice president for 2 years, and she has extensive experience serving on a variety of community boards. Valuable experience for managing meetings. She also has a long list of significant awards and honors for public service. She has just, I encourage you to have a look at our bio on the city's website. It's very impressive. She would also bring an important perspective as a woman and Latino to the important role of president. I hope you will elect Ms. DeBron as your president.
Governor Burbridge.
Good afternoon. Connor Burbridge, 225 Laurie Street. I'm here to support Olga Negron for council president. I'm here with a group of my neighbors from my neighborhood within South Bethlehem, and if they would feel comfortable, I would ask them to raise their hands right now. So we would like to support Olga Negron for council president. We think she is a great community leader, and I kind of just want to tell a personal story that I feel like illustrates that. When I first moved to South Bethlehem, I went to a local community group where Olga talked about her work preparing in the Lehigh Valley for Puerto Rico refugees from Hurricane Maria. That her work within that first showed that her strategic thinking and strong leadership within the community. But also, as part of that talk, I went to go talk to her afterwards and spoke about some things I was interested in getting involved within the community. And Olga offered me her card, and she was there to talk to me about the ways to get involved and took a lot of time out of her day over the course of the next couple weeks to tell me the best people to get in contact to without City Hall. This kind of transparency, I think, is the direction that City Hall needs to go. And also, though, it's just helped me develop as a citizen and leader within the Bethlehem community. Within the Army Reserve, we have a saying that you hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. And so with Olga's work with the Puerto Rican refugees, it feels like that she best represents this kind of strategic and leadership thinking that we need on the Bethlehem City Council. I also just want to conclude with questioning her eligibility for council president and breaking with the political tradition of having the incumbent vice president become the council president. We believe shows a discrimination against her as the first Latina councilwoman, and we think her CV and her involvement in the community shows that she qualifies. Thank you very much.
Elworth? After Mr. Worth's comments, I'll start on this side of the room. If there's anyone else who'd like to make a comment who has not had an opportunity to do so yet.
My name is Elworth. I live at 525 6th Avenue in Bethlehem. And I've been before this council many times, most of you know me, and so that's why I'm not going to tell you who I'm encouraging you to vote for the city council, because I think it might be the kiss of death if you knew who I was supporting. But I do want to offer a couple of extra thoughts on this issue, and at least one of them, a couple of them were mentioned indirectly. But as you know, I claim to be a political scientist, and that's my job. And I think it's really important to think about the appearances and the role of the city council in a city that's a democratic stronghold like Bethlehem. Most of the people who run here don't have any opponents because Republicans don't field candidates. And so the Democrats have many things on their agenda, but the most important thing might be the 2020 election. And one of the things that needs to happen is to have the Democrats themselves mobilize. And I think in a town like Bethlehem, mobilizing the Democrats, one way to do that would be to encourage groups that were traditionally less likely to participate in politics. And that would include, obviously, Latinos and women. I believe this is the first time we've ever had three women on Bethlehem City Council, and that I'm quite presuming. I don't want to tell you your jobs are, I don't want to tell the Democratic Party what to do, but I do think it would behoove the Democratic Party to have an image of inclusiveness, especially with the 2020 election approaching and with an exclusive force on the opposite side in that election. And also, of course, we have the first woman representative of our congressional district in quite a long time also. So. This is a really good time, and I believe that women were also the highest vote getters in both of the last two elections, with Ms. Negron winning, leading the pack in 2017, and our new council member leading the pack in the 2019 election. So those are just some facts that I would call to your attention, and you can infer from them what you will, but you know, I'm not here to endorse anybody.
Does anyone like to make comment on this side of the room?
Thank you, President Waldron, for the opportunity to speak. Ed Gallagher, 49 West Greenwich, and fight the good fight, I always say. I want to take advantage of a full house tonight very intelligent full house tonight to make a pitch for the Bethlehem moment. I promised President Waldron I wouldn't do that too much. But we just had a good example from Johanna Brahms of the Bethlehem moment. This is a feature I've been organizing over the past year and a half. Johanna's Bethlehem moment is the 18th in the series. So every meeting we try to have somebody do a Bethlehem moment, and I publish them on the Bethlehem gadfly. This is our New Year's, if you will, so I'd like to look back and thank the people who did the moments last year. Lynn Rothman, John Smith, Kate McVeigh, Olga Negron, Jim and Joe Petrucci. Hey, you guys who work with the developers, recommend doing the Bethlehem moment. I approached a lot of the developers, and the Petruccis were the only people who responded. Barbara Diamond, Stasia Brown Paulron, Steve Repash, Rhea Levy, Robert Bilheimer, Alan Loker. Those folks did Bethlehem moments last year. I have the schedule filled through the first third of 2020, but there are lots of people in the audience here who I know would be great volunteers to do the Bethlehem moments. I have a dream that all of the council members will do it, and Olga did it last year. Two other members have stepped up to volunteer for the upcoming year. I have a dream that the mayor and department heads, for instance, will do Bethlehem moments. That we see the elected officials participating in this celebration of Bethlehem history. So I'm open, BethlehemGadfly.com, EJG1 at Lehigh.edu for people who want to volunteer. Some of the people who did it last year have volunteered to do it again this year, but I don't necessarily want to use them again. I want to open this up to as many people as possible. So I'll end the pitch and just bring up two issues that are on my mind that maybe we're in such a celebratory mood tonight that we won't get to them or won't talk to them. But in mid-December, the Morning Call published a letter from Magistrate Nancy Matos Gonzalez about a differential in enforcement of marijuana laws between the Bethlehem police and the Lehigh police. It sounds like we should hear something about that. You know, one of the modest proposals that I floated on the gadfly is that there be more in the way of press conferences with the mayor, where questions can be asked from the public, or from the press and the public. but I think we should hear more about that. Is the intention of that decriminalization being kind of undercut by police practice? Chief, I think in the budget hearings there were questions about fentanyl use in the city, but I don't remember that you talked about the marijuana law. So I'm thinking we should not overlook this. That news story was about a month ago. And the second thing is what I would call the ethics controversy. Are we going to hear more about that? You know, we had a situation in which a councilman called out a member of the administration here. We had a situation where a councilman kind of charged the mayor with dereliction of duty. Time has gone by on those things, and I don't know what our opportunity is to hear what's happening about that. I have family members, of course I make them do it, who follow Gadfly. They don't live here, but they say, wow, look what happened in your town. What's going on with that? And I say, well I don't know. I don't know, and I don't know how we're going to hear any more about it. So that looked like two serious issues that we should be hearing more about. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher.
Hello, Justin Collins, 817 Carlton Avenue, often poorly salted and slick. But that's not why I'm here. I usually let that go. What I am here for is for Olga Negron. I don't have anything better to say than what all these people will say here, but I just want you to see the exasperation on my face. I want you to hear my heartbeat beating quickly. I expect to have to come here in some situations, but not in this one, and it's very frustrating to me, and I just want you to see that. And I want to know why I'm here. Why did I leave before I put my 7-year-old to bed to come here for this? That's it.
My name is Kira Wilhelm. I reside at 105 East Market Street. I admired Olga Negron before I knew her personally. I had heard her speak at numerous public gatherings, always impassioned, but measured, speaking not only to truly be heard, but to make sure that whatever population she was representing, because she was so often representing the underrepresented, felt understood and seen and heard themselves. We all always benefited from what Olga had to say. Now I'm honored to say that I know Olga personally, and every suspicion I had about her, that she was dedicated, honest, hardworking, caring, energetic, ethical, passionate, fair, willing to be an alternate voice in a room full of opinions, but never just in order to be an alternate voice, was correct. That's not because I'm a perfect judge of character, but because with Olga, what you see is what you get. She is so many things I admire in a leader. With thanks to Adam Waldron for your, Adam, excellent service. Change is good. In my opinion, it shows forward thinking for any organization, board, or council to choose shifts in leadership to keep everyone alert, seeing things and communicating about them in new ways. New ideas come this way. In a room full of individuals qualified for this role, I am pleased to voice my support for Olga Negron as Bethlehem's new city council president.
Dana Grubb, 2420 Henderson Place. For the last weeks of 2019 and now tonight, with the swearing in of new council members, Bethlehem City Council has entered a new era with the seating of 3 women among its 7 members. To the best of my recollection, that is historic for our city and council, as I don't believe Bethlehem has ever had 3 women serving at the same time on council. To the male members of council, the women are no longer coming, they are here. And this council has an opportunity to create more history, and I strongly urge you to do it. I'm aware that Councilwoman Negron is interested in serving as your and our city council president. She is more than capable. She's very devoted to Bethlehem. She exemplifies a wonderful story of success and has the proper demeanor to fulfill such an obligation. As you're aware, she's also served as your vice president for the last 2 years. Not since Councilwoman Dolores Caskey in the 1980s has a woman filled this role. It's time to name another council president. And just as importantly, the first Latina in the person of Olga Negron. I'm pretty sure Dolores Caskey would be smiling from the heavens. And knowing her the way I did, she would strongly endorse it. Do the right thing and make history in the process. Thank you.
Bruce Haynes, 63 West Church Street. Just like Al Worth, I'm concerned being up here on the kiss of death by supporting Olga. However, also, unlike Al, I'm up here to tell you that Olga has bipartisan support. I'm a Republican, old white guy, conservative businessman. And I believe Olga represents the opportunity to bridge the gaps that exist between conservative Republicans like me and ultra-liberal Democrats like Al. And I think that I honestly believe, I've worked with Olga on ethics, the ethics ordinance in Bethlehem. I've worked with Olga on business opportunities. I've worked with Olga on a variety of things, and I find her to be probably the best listener that I've ever been engaged with of anyone on council. And I believe she's very balanced. And I believe it would be a bipartisan decision to elect Olga as your city council president. Thank you.
Good evening, I'm Seth Moglen. I live at 726 Hillside Avenue in South Bethlehem. I'd also like to thank Council President Waldron and all the members of council, as well as the mayor and members of the administration here tonight. I know how hard you all work and how seriously you take the concerns of residents in the city tonight. Like almost everybody else in this room, I'm here to speak on behalf of Olga Negron, as I hope our next president of city council. I don't want to repeat what others have said. I have to say following Bruce is virtually impossible on this occasion, but I've had the good fortune to serve on executive boards with Olga and in a range of settings in which I have seen the depth of her knowledge about the city of Bethlehem, the discipline and serious attention she gives to the legal, to the practical, to the institutional dynamics before us, but always first and most importantly, to the lives of ordinary people in the city. What is absolutely extraordinary is that we have an opportunity to have, as the president of city council, someone with such an extraordinary degree of institutional knowledge and institutional commitment and professional accomplishment, and also someone beloved, as you can see, to such an extraordinary degree, to have all of those things in one person at the head of our city council will guarantee this council a kind of respect and attention from the citizens of Bethlehem. So I ask you, as you cast your votes, to take seriously what you've heard from your neighbors. Thank you.
Schuster. I live on 616 Montclair. I support Olga because she's experienced and demonstrated great community leadership. She's qualified, smart, and who I'd like to be my council president.
Anyone else on this side of the room who'd like to make comment? Moving into the center as we rotate around, is there anyone who'd like to make comment?
to short people, I don't have to move the microphone. My name is Jenny Gilroy, and I live at 417 Cherokee Street in South Bethlehem. And I'm here to speak on behalf of Olga. I have not been with Olga on as many boards as Seth has, but I have been with Olga on the Parish Council of Holy Infancy Church for an entire year and witnessed her, I would say the first word is love of community and the people in it. And the second word is deep, deep commitment and thoughtfulness and even-handedness. So please take my wishes into consideration. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kim Carol Smith. I live at 833 Carlton Avenue. That's like a salty street for about we didn't plan that either. So. It was great last night, so I should say that to whoever's responsible. It got salted yesterday, so it was very, very salty. And I'd like to offer one more moment of appreciation outside of what I really came to talk about, which was to the city electricians for those great trees this year. I thought it was fabulous. Really did so much for the city as a whole, I think. I kept overhearing people as I was walking around Bethlehem, overheard the tourists but also residents saying, this is the most beautiful city I've ever seen. So just those trees. I'd also like to say thanks to you all for the hard job that you do all the time as city council folks and to the city administration too, because I know that some of us come here more often feeling cranky and we'll, you know, we're ready to take you on, and I just want to say that we do appreciate what you do, and that's why we show up, because we think that you actually listen and that you really want to hear from us, so thank you. And my other part of appreciation is to surprise talk about Olga Negron just a little bit, and just to say that I think she represents a new kind of leadership in Bethlehem that is sorely needed, and that would be both from the Latinx community, but also the fact that she's a woman, as you have heard, and one of our three women on city council. This is the year. This is great. Also, I think if you look at her experience and recognize that she has a lot of amazing experience as a president of boards, among other things, the Community Action Committee of Lehigh Valley, the Community Action Development Corporation of Bethlehem, vice president of the library board, she was the vice chair of the planning commission. President of the Puerto Rican Cultural Coalition. She's been a board member on a million boards and still is, I think. I don't know how she does this with her time. Is on the statewide Latino Commission, I believe, coalition. Sorry, I got the name wrong. But she has a combination of community organizing experience from one of her many jobs and did an amazing job. And that's where you probably have heard some of her life story if you know about her community organizing work. She's done a lot of coalition building. She has worked as a strategic thinker, as I think somebody mentioned, and has been sort of a manager of many things. One of the things she does is manage meetings beautifully, and she manages people beautifully. You don't always know that she's doing it, because she has such a quiet way of sort of bringing people together, sitting back and listening a lot, doing her research, and then saying what she thinks, or maybe not even telling you what she thinks, but helping people to move towards that themselves. And I think that would be a wonderful characteristic for our next president of city council. I think Roger Hudak said it best. I know you know Roger as the longtime Mayor Southside Task Force head, and one of those voices of the Southside that you just keep hearing everywhere. And Roger said about Olga that she is a dynamo. And I think that kind of sums it up. She's got boundless energy, but she's also the kind of dynamo that doesn't just roll over you. She just kind of quietly brings things together. She's balanced. She's a good listener. And I think we've all seen that in city council meetings, but I think we've seen it all over the community. So please hear those voices from the community and also from Southsiders. We're so proud that that's where Olga spent so much of her life and that she, as somebody else mentioned, is that person that you see out in the South Side so much of the time. And we invite everybody else to come over there and meet some of us too. Thanks.
Is there anyone else in the center who would like to make a comment?
Bill Shire, 1898 Navajo. First, I'd like to thank Mr. Walden for your service as president. And one thing you have done is to show that a little gentle humor can go a long way in difficult situations. And in that vein, I wanted to tell something I think is humorous. Bruce and I are on opposite sides of the political spectrum, and we were both on the Citizens Ethics Committee, and one night I heard myself saying, Bruce, I will defend to the death your right to be mistaken. But we agree, so far at least, 100% on local issues, and particularly when it comes to Olga Negron. I'm not going to repeat all the nice things about her. I'll just second everything that's been said. And the year 2020 has been pointed out. It's a very symbolic year to have the second woman president of the city council. And also it will be interesting, perhaps, if a slightly heavier gavel, sorry Adam, will make a difference in the council climate. 2020, let's hope, is a year to see more clearly. Thank you.
Hi, it's Fiona Brotlight, 412 Second Avenue. I echo the praises we've heard already tonight for Olga Negron. I'll add, observing how she moved from a new member of council, a fairly green one, to one who demonstrates experience, hands-on, actively involved in everything. And she has thereby demonstrated how committed you are to the role. She is to the role. She's clearly worked to gain this expertise and thereby utilize her organizational and leadership skills for the position. I support giving Olga Negron the responsibilities of council president. Thank you.
Anyone else in the center? Yes, in the back. Mr. Antalics, you'll be next.
My name's Catherine Kimmock, 1424 Center Street. I only heard this morning that I had an opportunity to come out and support Olga Negron for council president. And I've heard some amazing things here. I echo everything I've heard. You may not even remember me, Olga, but I want to say that we both have a very deep love of this community. And to speak to the council, we're going into four generations of being Bethlehem residents. Today's the day my father was born and passed away 2 years ago, very same day. He was a good friend of Momar Simpson's, mayor, Bethlehem. They grew up together in the wartime period. My father was a history teacher. My parents went to Meridian College. I know this town. I know the history of it. And I come out in support of issues when they have deep meaning to me. And I encountered Olga before she was a council person, who came out to listen to community groups and respect with the Greenway in South Bethlehem, preservation of the historic district in South Bethlehem. You listened. You don't know me from anyone. I'm not on any boards. but I am very active in the community in my own way. And I just want to say I have every confidence she would be your best choice. Thank you.
Mr. Antox?
I remember that sweater from last year. It's one of my favorites.
I'll will it too.
I can hardly wait.
I'll will it. Stephen Antox, 77 Ridge. Let's just for a moment consider the term freedom of speech. But freedom of speech in the confines of this room. So there are actually then two types of freedoms of speech. One, mine, people behind me. But we get to exercise that freedom of speech in public comment. What used to be courtesy of the floor. Historically, way back, people who spoke before a council could speak their minds unlimited. There was a healthy exchange between ideas, true democracy. That freedom of speech has been diminished. It went down to 12 minutes. And after time, it got worse. It went down to 5 minutes with the installation of that stupid light up there telling you it's time to sit down. And people are cut off right in the middle of what they want to say because that idiot box said 00. So, what does that tell you in regards to elected officials responding to public opinion? What do they think? And time is a good indication of that. Let's look at freedom of speech from the other side of the, over who's behind that table. And if you look at it carefully, there are two types of freedom of speech expressed by members of that table, objective or subjective, both very different, very different. Objective speech, you discuss issues. They can become very acrimonious and nasty, but they're still objective and freedom of speech. The alternative of objective freedom is subjective, which can be very dangerous because subjective freedom of speech can involve personalities. And this body suffered a tremendous deterioration in its image by the free allowance of subjective freedom of speech to allow members of council to attack one another. Unabated, creating a serious problem in terms of our opinion of them. Lest you forget, you sit there because you ask us to put you there by voting for you, and you then agree to become servants of our welfare. So, if you consider the welfare of council, then what needs to happen is strong, powerful control of subjective freedom of speech to prevent that kind of character assassination. This happened. But what we've heard here is there a person that might be able to control that? So all I'm asking you is this. If you are truly our servants and respect the will of the people who put you there, I think you got a very clear image of what is our will. So the question now becomes, do you support the will of the public who put you there, or a political choice?
Is there anyone else in the center who would like to make a comment? Moving on to this side of the room, is there anyone who would like to make a comment? Yes.
My name's Lisa Rosa, and I'm from 822 Fernwood. I'm here today because I agree wholeheartedly with Olga. I was born and raised in this city. I was very proud of this city. Many of the gentlemen here know who I am. I've served on boards. I was in a task force appointed many years, community action board. I mean, I could sit here and tell you a whole line of things I have done in the past. Until one day, a gentleman pulled a gun on me, and my entire life just disappeared. From my home, my kids, my husband, my cars, everything is gone. I ended up having to go to Virginia for 3 years to get my health back because I felt I was going to die. I lost a lot of weight. I couldn't eat, couldn't drink, was in the hospital every 3 days with IVs. And I decided to come back home and was very disappointed. Because everything I worked so hard to build is pretty much gone. I've spoken to officers from Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, Hellertown. We're down 32 officers. 32.
Y'all good?
32 officers. And some of you already know why. And I'm not going to go into detail because I have other things I want to talk about. Apartments. There are many of us looking for apartments that can't find anything. I got here in July. I came back to Pennsylvania in March. Came back to Bethlehem in July. And still cannot find an apartment. Then I come to my first city council meeting, all bright and all happy and thinking, let's make a difference again in this Bethlehem, bring home back. And I'm confronted with people attacking each other, people putting down the city. You know, if any one of us can sit back and say, we are perfectly innocent and do not sin, then you can stand up and talk all you want. But you know what? This has been a shame. A big shame to come home to. Olga, I'm very happy of where you are, and I'm very happy that you're going to be voted into as president. Because I'm as dedicated as you to Bethlehem. I've already, in just the short time I've been here, and being appointed to a board, have volunteer work, and and go to meetings and sit in and listen to people. But not because I'm Republican or a Democrat, because I am a resident of Bethlehem and care for my city. You know, everybody sits up there. Okay, I'm in city council. I represent the people, and yet my first day at a meeting, totally disappointed. You're supposed to represent us. And I'll tell you one thing, I'm very ashamed of a few of you. Very ashamed. You know, I come from a long line of people who have worked in the city. I have worked in the city. I worked in dispatch. I worked in inspections. I've been here. I've been dedicated. Had to leave because of my health. If not, I would have been here. I need a few more minutes if you don't mind, please. You know, I may be just me, but I need to make a difference. And do you know why? Because each one of us in this room live here. Each one of us need to get up and do something. Because if we don't, is this what we're to expect? Honestly, is it what's, you know, I mean, you should work together. Whether you're a Republican or Democrat. And that's the problem with the government today. Everybody is, oh, this one's Republican, this one's Democrat, let's fight because we don't agree. How about coming to the middle and compromising? You know, that would work a hell of a lot better. Because there's a lot of things that I've seen in this city, and what I've heard actually scares the hell out of me. People shouldn't be afraid to work or talk about their positions or something that's going on because they can get fired. When I was at the last meeting, it was mentioned that you were down two city inspectors. Okay, but when you fire the head of the inspections, you eliminated a position. If not, there would only have been one inspector to replace. I mean, I'm pretty much a nobody to everybody here because my time was 20 years ago. So let me tell you, it doesn't disappoint me more to see how far we've come. Because if you can't work with each other, you shouldn't be here. And God forbid, I be a city council member and put people down in the paper doing, you know, to me, that should be an offense to be able to kick them off of work. Because that is not the type of representation we need from council. And I'm sorry I'm being vocal, but, you know, it's sad. I mean, I'm 52 years old. So pretty much lived here, what? Well, I'll be 53, so 50 years I've lived in Bethlehem. And it's going backwards instead of forward. Hopefully, Olga, you can mentor me a little. Because I'm going to be a voice. I'm going to be around. And I plan to be around for a long time. But the quiet me disappeared. You know, my family, Bethlehem needs me, and I'm not giving up. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else on this side of the room that would like to make a comment? All right, we're going to kind of regroup here and give another opportunity for anyone else who'd like to make comment, not only about the reorganization this evening, but as well as any other item that's on the agenda that we will be voting on this evening. Is there anyone who'd like to make a comment who has not had an opportunity to do so yet? And just to emphasize, this will be your last opportunity to make a comment before the vote on the president and vice president this evening. So this is your last opportunity if you have not yet made a comment to do so. Thank you. All right, we will move on with our agenda then this evening. Any old business from members of council? Communications, communication 6A.
A memorandum from Michelle Siaki, Director of Human Resources, recommending a contract with Preferred EAP for Employee Assistance Services. The term of the contract shall run from January 1st, 2020 through December 31st, 2020. The cost for the contract is $14,000. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda. Communication 6B.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Kiko Tutsruda Kramer, Principal of WRT Design, for services related to the South New Street Streetscape Enhancement Project. The term of the contract runs through December 31st, 2020. The cost is $70,645. No renewals are anticipated.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6, pardon me. Do we have communication 6C? Are you ready?
Yeah.
The clerk read communication 6C at the beginning of the meeting, which is listed as a resolution this evening. Moving to reports. Report 7A1.
I, Adam Waldron, do hereby reappoint Jane K. Gill to membership on the Bethlehem Area Public Library Board. This appointment is effective until January 2023. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? The clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 7A2.
I, Adam Waldron, do hereby reappoint Joyce Heinfeld to membership on the Bethlehem Area Public Library Board. This appointment is effective until January 2023. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? Clerk, would please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. At this point, I'm going to take a few minutes to read the 2019 Bethlehem City Council President's Report. This is some of the highlights of what City Council worked on, accomplished, and voted on during 2019. And Mr. Gallagher, we will get you a hard copy of this in anticipation. During 2019, Bethlehem City Council held 24 regular meetings and 14 committee meetings, adopted 272 resolutions, and passed 51 ordinances. Below are some of the highlights from that legislative year. In order to increase transparency, City Council began live video streaming City Council, regular and committee meetings to allow citizens to watch meetings remotely. Council thanks the City's Information Services Bureau for their continued help with this project. City Council reviewed and took action on several financial matters during 2019. Council approved the issuance of tax-exempt general obligation bonds in the maximum aggregate principal of $6 million to finance various non-utility capital projects and equipment purchases. Council also approved the issuance of two series of tax-exempt general obligation bonds in the combined maximum aggregate principal amount of $72 million to refinance existing general obligation bonds and notes in order to reduce the city's debt service costs. Additionally, Council reviewed and approved a number of budget amendments. As part of the transition, moving 911 operations from the City of Bethlehem to Northampton County, Council adopted an ordinance authorizing an agreement for intermunicipal cooperation between Northampton County and the City regarding transfer of a city-owned 911 trunk radio network to Northampton County. City Council adopted a resolution authorizing the sale of city-owned 911 communication equipment to Northampton County, and a resolution authorizing a communications site lease agreement leasing certain city property to Northampton County for the use in connection with 911 system operation. In connection with the city administration's continuing efforts to reduce blight and maintain the improved condition of city housing stock and rental units, Council passed an ordinance establishing Article 1719 titled Grounds and Procedures for Denying Selective Permits and Authorizations for the Purpose of Promoting Property Revitalization.
also related to blight prevention and remediation and inspections, council received a proposed ordinance from the administration establishing Article 1738 titled Residential Rental Units. Council referenced this proposed ordinance to the Community Development Committee for consideration. Council approved various grant applications, including grants for the funding of a library elevator, Monocacy Way improvements, a pedestrian bridge study, Rose Garden improvements, sewer and water infrastructure, and Northside 2027 pedestrian safety improvements. In conjunction with the mayor, department heads, and an ad hoc working group, council designed and distributed an English and Spanish language communication survey to better understand how citizens receive information about city government operations through various city communication channels, including print newsletters, email, social media, and online posting. Council considered two proposed ordinances designed to prevent perpetuation of gender wage inequality by prohibiting and or regulating employer inquiries into prospective employee wage histories, as well as employer reliance on wage histories for determining compensation. These proposed ordinances refer to the City Council Human Resources and Environment Committee for review. In City Council Public Safety Committee, Council received updates on the transition to 911 service to Northampton County and enforcement of Article 744 marijuana possession, which was established in 2018. Also related to public safety, Council adopted a resolution approving an adopted city emergency operations plan developed to outline procedures for coordinating emergency responses to natural or man-made emergency events. Council conducted its second financial accountability incentive reporting hearing to evaluate the effectiveness of economic development incentives and increase transparency. These annual hearings were conducted to review administration reports submitted to Council pursuant to Article 349 Economic Development Incentive Reporting and Evaluation established in 2018. In conjunction with city pensions, City Council passed an ordinance amending the city's Pennsylvania Municipal Retirement System Plan. Council also passed an ordinance amending Article 156 titled City of Bethlehem Pension Fund to better reflect the current structure of the city's pension plans. Council received and consolidated several rezoning requests in 2019. Council also adopted a resolution increasing various recreation-related fees. Additionally, Council passed the ordinances amending Article 925 titled Stormwater Management Regulations and Article 941 titled Parks. In coordination with the mayor, Council managed ad hoc working groups comprised of city representatives related to climate action planning, municipal communications, and the city's open data program. In connection with the pervasive plastic pollution, that was a tongue-tied, Mr. Bodoni. You'd be better on that one. Council passed a resolution urging the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to enact statewide legislation to mitigate or eliminate the harm caused by the distribution, use, and discarding of single-use plastics. Council adopted a resolution supporting the passage of proposed federal Medicare for All legislation. Council also adopted a resolution supporting Governor Wolf's Restore Pennsylvania initiative to enable new infrastructure funding for environmental and recreation projects across the state, including infrastructure and maintenance in state parks, local water quality improvements, and funding for new hiking, biking, and trail projects. In support of the fair funding formula for Pennsylvania schools, City Council adopted a resolution encouraging Pennsylvania to enact legislation making the distribution of state education funding more equitable by reducing per pupil funding disparities between wealthy and economically disadvantaged school districts. Council authorized a number of contract requests, use permit agreements, and certificates of appropriateness, and approved councilmatic appointments and administrative orders appointing members to various city council boards, commissions, and authorities. So that's what we did in 2019. I would also like to add, there was a pretty significant structural change within the city council's clerk's office. Historically, for the past, I don't know how many number of years, there was three full-time employees within the clerk's office. In an effort to be more resourceful, much like the administration has asked all their department heads to do more with less, we have made a transition to two full-time employees within that office. While the workload has stayed the same, we have both asked Mr. Bodoni and Ms. Calachava to take on larger roles and continue the same wonderful level of service, both to City Council, but as well to all the residents who have contact with our clerk's office. So I did want to point that out, and I wanted to thank them for all their hard work that they did in a difficult transition and filling new roles. So I wanted to thank you both for that. And that is all I have for my reports this evening. I will turn to the mayor.
Thank you, Mr. President. First, I want to congratulate the new members of council and looking forward to working with all members of council for the next 2 years. Second, regarding what Mr. Gadfly had to say, the Chief DeLuzio and Deputy Chief Mike will be meeting with the new district attorney in the next few weeks to discuss the marijuana ordinance, since Bethlehem is in two counties, and we will see what his position is since he's taking over for District Attorney John Morganelli. And we know the views of District Attorney Martin from the And that will be followed up then with a meeting with Judge Matos. And my third point, on the matter regarding the delay of council's awareness of the death of an individual while in custody of the Bethlehem Police, I would like to make 2 points. First, the subject of disclosure to council simply was not addressed while the administration's attention was directed towards respect for the family's privacy, the investigation of the personal matter, and while we were awaiting the district attorney's review. I did not issue a directive not to notify council. In retrospect, the subject of notification should have been considered, and notification should have been given sooner. For that, I apologize. Second, going forward, I commit that when such sensitive matters do occur, we will include notification to council and to the public at a proper time, in a proper manner, as appropriate under the circumstances. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll continue with our agenda. We have two ordinances for final passage this evening. Ordinance 8A.
Ordinance amending Part 5, Title 5, Article 531, Section 531.99. To increase the amount of fines for parking violations and replacing all ordinances or parts of ordinances inconsistent herewith. Bill 57, 2019 is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Nay.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Nay.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-2. Ordinance 8B.
An ordinance amending Part 5, Title 5, Article 533, Section 533.99 to increase the amount of fines for overtime parking violations and replacing all ordinances or parts of ordinances inconsistent herewith. Bill 58, 2019 is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Clerk, would please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Nay.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Nay.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-2. We have no new ordinances for consideration this evening. Resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Preferred EAP for Employee Assistance Services. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Mr. Grohn.
Discussion? The clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and of such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Kiko Tetsura, Kramer Principal of WRT Design, for services related to the South New Street Streetscape Enhancement Project. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Mr. Grohn.
Discussion? If the clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Grohn?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 321 Adams Street to install a gate for access to the courtyard area from the Greenway. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Mr. Grohn.
Discussion?
The clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-D.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 202 East 3rd Street to add a two-story rear addition with flat roof, stucco facades, and double-hung windows. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? If the clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with WSP for services related to preparation of a climate action plan. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? Mr. Reynolds,
then. Thank you, President Waldron. I just want to say that it's been a long road to get to this place as far as our climate action plan. When I introduced the idea of a climate action plan 3 years ago, it was a long time ago. And I think working with your EAC, working with our administration, having a lot of meetings about this, we're here and we can be confident that we're going to get this plan written in 2020. I had created the idea about how do we get everybody in Bethlehem who cares about sustainability, cares about the environment, together working in the same direction in kind of an organic manner. Not just that we were going to produce a plan that we put on a shelf somewhere that people are going to say, yeah, we came up with a plan, but it's not what we want to do. So over the past couple of years, what we've done, and I really want to give the administration credit for this, is working with EAC, is we've talked about, like, what kind of goals are we looking for? What can we do in-house? What are the type of things that our city staff can do? So if we hire somebody to do work, it's work that we necessarily can't do. And a lot of it's been about how are we going to set up that structure that is a semi-permanent structure necessarily that we'll be able to lobby both the city, the state, the federal levels for on important climate and sustainability initiatives. So I think that what we're going to get out of this is, I mean, we're looking at a citywide energy reduction plan. We're going to be looking at sustainability initiatives, just an education piece. A lot of people think that this isn't even a thing. So, I mean, we're going to have this group talk a lot as we go forward about how climate is a social justice issue and also how the issues that a lot of people in this room care about, whether or not they're pedestrian bridges or food co-ops or walkability initiatives, how they're tied into coming up with a climate action plan that reflects that and those priorities. So once again, I want to thank the administration, I want to thank the mayor, I want to thank Mr. Alcohol for helping to put together the RFP. I want to thank, she's not here, but I want to thank Ms. Rothman. This is a big deal, and I think as 2020 goes on and there's public meetings announced and there's progress announced, we're going to be really happy and we're going to show what cities are able to do when they stand up and lead on issues and such as this one. Thank you, President Walton.
Dr. Donner?
So my comments are really more of a question. I'm kind of a stickler for following procedure. I'm fully in support of spending this money on this project, but when it comes to public notification, I just want to check in with Mr. Spurk. And what are our rules when we are putting something on the agenda that hasn't been announced for the public? Is this... I just want to make sure that we're doing everything right, because really the public needs a certain amount of notice, I thought, from the way that our rules are dictated. So how does that work? Are we following our own rules when we put items like this on the agenda at the last minute? And I hope we are. I just want to understand better.
In terms of the Sunshine Act, as long as the public knows about it before the time for public comment is present, we're in compliance. Mr. Vidoni can help, perhaps. We do have council rules about when things are submitted to the city clerk so that they can make it on the agenda.
Correct.
They're not rules, they're guidelines.
Yes, there was an administrative issue. The intent was to submit the contract request by the deadline. There was something that happened internally. It did not make it on the agenda, but the intent, again, was to submit it by the deadline. Correct. Thursday at 12 p.m.
Thursday noon is when, as a matter of procedure, the clerk's office has set up a request that documents get there so that they can put on the agenda and get it in a timely fashion. Occasionally, for whatever reason, there are things that come late to the city clerk.
Okay.
And then, in terms of state law, so long as it's announced prior to the time for public comment. And
I totally understand. Thank you. I just think it's a slippery slope. So I want to make sure that we follow. It has nothing to do with the subject matter at hand. I just want to. I think that the people who actually take the time to go onto the city website, look at the agenda, and say, do I want to come down and talk about this? Do I want to write a letter to somebody? Do I want to call my state legislator? Whatever it is, I think that we should try and follow that as best as possible. And I understand that lapses happen. I just wanted to ask what the rules were so I understood it better. Thank you.
And the process in this instance was that I got a phone call this morning from Mr. Bedoni about adding this on from the Public Works Department, was under the impression that it was submitted in time and they had submitted it on their end, but we didn't receive it. So they were under the impression it would be on this agenda. And always my first, second, and third question is it, if we're going to add something, is it time sensitive? If not, we'll just push it and it'll wait 2 weeks. And Mr. Bedoni followed back up with the Public Works Department, and they felt that there was a time sensitive issue with this contract so that it could be started as soon as possible. But in every instance that it is not, in fact, I always try to defend the policy of the clerk's office to not accept anything after that Thursday noon deadline in order to not create a precedent or a slippery slope. So every time one of these issues does come up, there is a lot of deliberation before it gets added to the agenda. And then if you do recall at the beginning of this agenda, I did announce that we'd be adding this resolution, and Mr. Bedoni did read it, which it would allow for public comment at the beginning of the meeting based on the vote that would be pending as we added it.
I'm sure we all see the fallacy in that approach, but I hear you, and thank you for addressing that.
Mr. Reynolds?
Just some more context here. Is that this was something that had been talked about last year, and I understand, but just so we're talking about this specific contract, is that the administration put out a request for proposal for consultants back in July. I believe it was July or August, somewhere in there. The EAC had talked about it. We had had different conversations. I had called the administration, even after the administration and the EAC together, after talking about it at the public meetings there, that they had brought forward a recommendation, and I asked when we were going to be voting on the contract, and Mr. Alcall had informed me, and I understood that we couldn't vote on the contract until the money was appropriated in the 2019 budget. So I think part of the reason there too that there might have been a little bit of a hiccup is because it wasn't the general contract where it was necessarily we approve the budget, then the administration puts out the contract the following year after the money is approved. But this was one based on the timeline as far as when the EAC and the administration had felt confident to come forward with the RFP, that it became a situation where it didn't make sense to wait until January to necessarily contact all of the different consultants. You go through that process, and then the contract is going to be awarded as soon as we had approved money in the budget. And I forget if it was the November 19th. I think we might have had a budget hearing that day. Members from the EAC came to support that contract as well. So I understand Dr. Van Wert's point. And just to provide some more context, in this specific case, I do think that there had been a lot of discussion on it. But obviously, ideally, it would be a situation where it would be on the agenda before, so we never have to add anything. Thank you, President Wolf.
Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 10E.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. That will end our agenda as it is printed, but we'll move on to new business from members of council. And at this point, I wanted to give any member of council elect, if you will, which those four members who are being sworn in this evening, Dr. Van Wert, Mr. Reynolds, Ms. Cramsey-Smith, and Mr. Colon, an opportunity to reach out to the supporters that they have here who came out to support them, maybe hold a Bible or run a campaign or knock on doors or whatever it is, what part they played in getting them up here and then getting them up here again, if you will. So I just wanted to allow them an opportunity to talk to some of those people who are in the room this evening. If anyone would like to make any comment, they don't have to by any means, but
I'll I'll keep it really short. So many of you were so instrumental in helping both in my initial campaign and my second one, and my heart goes out to you because it's legitimate work. It's really important stuff that you did, and I thank you so much. The person I owe the most to is my husband, Tim. He's my kitchen cabinet, my finance chairman, my political consultant, my nursing home specialist. He's my everything, and thank you for everything you did for me and continue to do so.
Mr. Quillen? Okay. Thank you, President Walker. I'll be brief to Ross, her family in the front row. Just want to thank my new fiance, Aaron, for coming out tonight to hold my Bible. And the handsome gentleman that looks like me with the gray hair in the front, my father, who's an Allentown resident, don't hold that against him, who we've kept up past his bedtime. So thanks, Bob.
Very good.
Francis Smith?
I just want to take this opportunity to thank everyone who helped me to get elected. It has been a real honor, and I've been really fortunate. Even though tonight I'll be installed as an elected official, I was appointed about 4 months ago, and it was really great to serve the last 4 months. I really enjoyed it. Unfortunately, most of my family is not here tonight because my nephew's a basketball coach and he's a big game, so they didn't have them all like they did last time. But I'm really fortunate my daughter Shannon, who made the trip in here from Harrisburg today, and she'll be holding my Bible. She's made a trip from law school in Harrisburg, so I really appreciate her taking time away from the books. And my friends Karen and Katie and Judy and Anna and all my other friends that are out there, I really appreciate you coming, Steve. Thank you so much.
Thank you, President Waldron. I just want to thank everybody as well. I think that oftentimes we don't, because the design of the meetings and things like that is that we don't take a minute to, probably for the best, to talk about ourselves and our own stories. But I think that it, or I know that this is a special day for my colleagues, Dr. Van Wert, Mr. Cologne, Ms. Smith, as well as our current city council people, because I think all of us would agree from that time that you knock on your first door, you realize that people in this community love this community. And every year Bethlehem becomes more than it was before. And every year I seem to find myself sitting in rooms of people that have more and more and more people that are committed to the same goals. And it is definitely our strength. And I wanted to just thank a couple of people who are here tonight who probably did not think they were going to have to be here till 8:39. But I want to first. I see my old boss, State Representative Steve Samuelson, over there, who I want to thank for being our state rep and being kind of a model for how we should be elected officials and how we should just treat people and how anybody that walks in your door in Broad Street deserves your attention. And I know you, just by your body language, just like the next two people I'm going to thank, don't like attention, but I rarely get the opportunity to get them here. So I want to thank the two best role models I have, and that's my own fiance, Natalie, who is here, as well as my mom, who I think probably wished that I never ran for office. But at the same time, I think that both of them, I think everybody up here would tell you that being involved in being married to, being the son, the daughter, the wife, the husband, the mom, the dad of an elected official is not an easy job. And I think that they see our stress on a day-to-day basis sometimes. They know this meeting can, these meetings can be long, this job can be difficult. They hear things or they read things that they know aren't true and they bite their tongue. And they say, how do you do it? But they also remind us that, you know, the loudest voices are not the only voices, and strength comes from kindness and love and integrity. And I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank both my mom and Natalie for coming, who are hiding in the back there. But I want to just thank you for the support and all of the patience with this life that oftentimes takes us out many nights. So thank you.
And
I can't resist one of the best kept secrets in Bethlehem. We do have a treasurer here who is going to be sworn in this evening. Ms. Harper, is there anything that you'd like to add? Okay. Very good. Any other new business for members of council before we... Yes, Mr. Grum?
Thank you, President Waldron. I first of all want to say today is the Epiphany, the 3:15, Dia de Reyes. And just because we are the Christmas city, I have to say thank you for keeping the light of the tree on till today. This is a very important day for our community. And I just have to add, thank you. I have to add that we celebrate the 12 days of Christmas, 12 days before Christmas, but if you really count, the 12 days of Christmas are the 12 days from the 25th of December till today, which is when the King of Kings is named the King of Kings by the true King. So thank you again. I was just so happy when I saw the Christmas tree on the 3:15. That was a very nice tree. And I also had to say thank you to everybody that came on my support for my leadership, people that I don't even know or that I've just barely seen around. Thank you. It means the world to me. That was a great 3:15 present. So thank you.
This meeting is adjourned. Sine die. Seats, please. Seats, please. We'd like to get started with our new agenda and swearing-in ceremony. I will call to order tonight's meeting, reorganization meeting for the new City Council for Monday, January 6, 2020. The clerk would please call the roll for the holdover members of council.
Mr. Calhoun,
present.
Mr. Grom?
Presente.
Mr. Waldron?
Present.
Okay. Presentation of certificates of election. If certificates of election have been presented, and Northampton County Judge Stephen Barada will conduct the swearing-in of Treasurer-elect Kaya Farber, Council-elect Cologne, Council-elect Cramsey Smith, Council-elect Reynolds, and Council-elect Van Wert. Swearing-in ceremonies. Judge Stephen Barada, Judge of Northampton County Court of Common Pleas, will conduct the swearing-in ceremonies for each individual. Would Judge Barada please approach the front of the council table?
Thank you.
Would Ms. Farber and her family please approach the front of the council table with their Bible? Or you can use that Bible.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm going to hold your life.
I believe so.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Kaya Baba.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Obey and defend.
Obey and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And the Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And that I will discharge.
And that I will discharge.
The duties of my office.
The duties of my office.
As treasurer.
As treasurer.
Of the city of Bethlehem.
The city of Bethlehem.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Congratulations.
Mr. Colon and his family, please approach the front of the council table with their Bible.
We need like the footprints up here.
Okay, raise your right hand and repeat after me. You want to put your hand on the Bible? Okay. I state your name.
I, Michael Gabriel Colon.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Obey and defend.
Obey and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And the Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And that I will discharge.
And that I will discharge.
The duties of my office.
The duties of my office.
As councilman of the city of Bethlehem.
As councilman of the city of Bethlehem.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Congratulations, sir.
Would Ms. Cramsey Smith and her family please approach the front of the council table?
Congratulations. Bible, raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I, state your name.
I, Grace Cramsey Smith.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Obey and defend.
Obey and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And the Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And that I will discharge.
And that I will discharge.
The duties of my office.
The duties of my office.
As Councilwoman of the City of Bethlehem.
As Councilwoman of the City of Bethlehem.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Congratulations.
Mr. Reynolds and his family, please approach the front of the council table.
Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, J. William Reynolds.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Obey and defend.
Obey and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And the Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And that I will discharge.
And that I will discharge.
The duties of my office.
The duties of my office.
As councilman of the city of Bethlehem.
As councilman of the city of Bethlehem.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Dr. Van Worten, our family, please approach the front of the council table.
Doctor, congratulations. Hand on the Bible, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. I, and state your name.
I, Paige Van Wert.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Obey and defend.
Obey and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And the Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And that I will discharge.
And that I will discharge.
The duties of my office.
The duties of my office.
As Councilwoman of the City of Bethlehem.
As Councilwoman of the City of Bethlehem.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Congratulations. Thank you.
The newly elected council members and their and council staff please take their seats at the council table. I will call the roll of the new council. Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Mr. Cologne?
Present.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Present.
Ms. DeGrom?
Present.
Mr. Reynolds?
Present.
Dr. Van Wert?
Present.
Mr. Waldron?
Present.
The members of council shall nominate the president of council and the vice president of council in accordance with Robert's Rules of Order. Nominations are from the floor. An election of the president of council and the vice president of council are in accordance with Robert's Rules of Order and by roll call. I will now turn the nominations and election of president and vice president over to City Council Solicitor Jack Spurk.
Procedure will be as follows. I will ask for nominations for the office of president of council. Each council member may nominate no more than one person. No second is required. After each nomination for the office of president, I will ask if there are any additional nominations. When we get to the point where there are no additional nominations, I'll declare the nominations closed. There's no need for a motion to close nominations. We'll then proceed to the election. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll. Each council member will respond by declaring his or her vote, stating the name of the person they are voting for president. Council member is allowed to vote for him or herself. Council member may also vote for anyone, whether nominated or not. Four votes are required for election. After the president has been elected, we will repeat the same process for vice president. So if there are no questions as to the procedure, we will begin. The floor is now open for nominations for the office of president of council for the term January of 2020, January of 2022. Recognize Dr. Van Wert.
I would like to nominate Councilwoman Olga Negron.
Ms. Negron is nominated. Are there additional nominations?
I would like to nominate Councilman Adam Waldron.
Mr. Waldron is nominated. Are there additional nominations? Are there any further nominations? If not, I declare the nominations closed. Does council wish any discussion? Ms. Ramsey Smith?
I was thinking that it could be appropriate, since we have two candidates, that maybe they can just give us some input as to why they feel they would be best suited for this position.
Mr. Reynolds?
Just to add to that is I think that Mr. Waldron and Ms. Negron are good council people. They're great council people, and I think we have two great nominees. And I would like to hear, as council president from 2014 to 2017, I know a lot of the job involves running the meetings, and it's not a job that gets more access or has any control of any additional budget funds, but a lot of the job has to do with running these meetings, and I think, just to add to Ms. Gramsci, that I think that we would be wise to hear from both Ms. Negron and Mr. Waldron about their own ideas about what they think they bring the presidency, including on the running of the meetings. Thank you.
Other discussion? Mr. Waldron.
Thank you. I would maybe correct the record. There is one perk. You do get an extra $500 if you are the president of council, so there is that. And I was unsure if I was going to run, but that $500 is going to buy a lot of diapers. So I think I was unsure. So I took some time over this kind of Christmas break to reach out, call, and speak to every member of council.
I've also talked to some other people that I hold their opinion well regard about what their thoughts were on me serving. It's kind of been the precedent that the president of council serves for two terms and then essentially would be term limited out. Mr. Reynolds did that as he served for four terms and was term limited out of serving again. At that point, I had been the vice president of council for 2 years and had been on council for 4 years. And I would say that the vice president position did not prepare me at all for taking over and running the meeting, as really your only role as vice president is to run a meeting if the president is not there that evening. In my time as vice president, I think I did run one committee of the whole meeting when Mr. Reynolds was unable to attend. And in my 2 years as president, I did miss one council meeting for the birth of my second set of kids when I was in the hospital. So there hasn't been a large circumstance where the vice president has stepped up, but I would kind of look at the committee roles as a committee chair and how those meetings are run very similarly to what the roles are as a president of council. However, there's a lot more pressure with running a city council meeting versus a committee meeting, as those meetings tend to be a lot more relaxed and a little more free-flowing, if you will. So I did reach out to members of council, and I did speak to everyone about their views, including talk to Ms. Negron as well about her desire to continue or to step up and serve as president. And during my conversations with everybody on council, I didn't receive any negative feedback about my style or my management of running the meetings, which I took to heart, and I took that advice to mean that I was doing a fine job running the meetings. And I think if I were to continue as president of council, I would have a very similar approach to the way I ran the meetings in the past 2 years. I will stand by my record of service and the way that I've run meetings. I have been criticized a bit of allowing people to speak too much, but that's a criticism I will take. Whether that's members of council or it's members of the public, I do have what is called a soft gavel, and I think in my opportunity to limit speech, I have chosen repeatedly not to do that. I don't think limiting ideas that you are not in agreement with or are unpopular is not the way to a healthy dialogue. I think you combat unpopular ideas with better ideas, and that has been my approach to running and facilitating these meetings, and I would bring that to the table if I was elected to serve a second term to continue as council president. One of the legacies that I think I'm most proud of and that I'll stand behind and that I'll leave is the addition of the live streaming, and in an effort to be more transparent and allow more access to people and allow a better audio and visual record that's easy to look at and access. That was one of the things that I championed in my time as president, and I think that has been a very successful use of technology. And I think that allows for more conversation, which I think is always a good thing. Whether you agree with those ideas or not, I think knowing what someone else thinks and having the ability to understand and allow them to articulate is a positive thing. Whether you like that, those ideas, or you think they're terrible, I think everyone should have an opportunity to be heard. I have asked members of council publicly and privately if they did have any feedback for me in my management of the meetings. And I have received a little bit of feedback, but nothing to the point where anybody felt that I should take a much different approach to the way I manage and I try to keep order in the room. It is an imperfect science, and it is a difficult balancing act from moment to moment, but I am willing to continue those conversations with members of council if I am elected again to serve as president, to see how we can allow for an even more productive dialogue that would make people feel as included as possible, open up City Hall to as many residents as we can get here, and to hear their input as well. So If council's will is for me to serve another term, I would be happy to do so. And I would also like to add that it has been a pleasure to serve as president of council, even though sometimes it is a very challenging and difficult position. I did enjoy my time, and I think my ability to be patient and understanding is one of my strengths. I would also add that, as I said, 90% of this is running the meeting. The other 10% is probably the communication with members of council, as well as the clerk's office. As I referenced earlier today, I got a phone call from Mr. Bodoni in mid-morning to add something to the agenda that was time-sensitive. Since I have the ability to be self-employed, I often am able to take phone calls and check emails and text messages during the day that are time-sensitive. I know other members of council in the past, that has been a challenge, waiting to the end of the workday to catch up on some of those issues. So I think that also uniquely qualifies me to serve in this role. Thank you.
Other discussion? Ms. Negron?
Thank you. Let's see if I can reach this mic. This is very hard for me to do because I don't like talking about me, but and I heard so much more than I expected tonight, and I thank you for that. But I will just mention a few things that maybe were not mentioned before. First, I would like to say thank you to Councilman Waldron for mentioning that the 2 years as a vice president doesn't really give you any kind of experience. I only presided one meeting when the twins were born. And other than that, that's it. So that doesn't really mean anything. So I'm glad he mentioned it. However, I do have, actually almost 53 years ago, I know most of you were not born, but I was born, and my father was, I'm one of 11, my father was already in Rotary Club, and by the age of 10, I was already attending Rotary Club meetings, and I was always intrigued by Robert rules, by presiding meetings and leading, and that's why through all my life, that's all I've done. And I know we heard that many people say it, I don't want to go back to it, but through my life, leadership is something that it's just part of my nature. It's something that I'm very comfortable doing. And although many times I've been told I'm the quiet one, you don't have to say much in order to make a point. And I think that actions are much more powerful. I understand Robert rules. I understand how meetings. I have plenty of experience as president, as vice president, and not just locally, nonprofit organizations, statewide. I've done it. And I am ready. And something else, just to close, I came to city council meetings way before I decided to even run. I didn't want to run. But I start to listen to the people telling me, you have to run. We want you to be a representative. I don't even know why, but I listen. And I figure at that point, there's never been a woman, a Latino woman elected, so I'm going to give it a chance. I'm not going to win. But I made it because all of you voted for me and put me here. And I take my leadership role, as always, very seriously. And that's what I've done was sitting in here, not just through committees, but through all my work. I also have to mention that I've worked also, not just in the nonprofit, but with State Representative Steve Samuelson, who is here with us at City of Allentown. And I've been appointed by two different governors, Governor Wolf and Governor Rendell, to serve on advisory boards for their administration. And that is something that I did with passion and took very seriously. Something else that I'm very lucky is I work for a law firm, and they are very supportive of me, and I am very flexible. I am able to be in Bethlehem Wednesdays and Fridays, and I am available to meet constituents, and I have done that even during my day on Wednesdays and Fridays, and many of you here have met with me on those days, because they know how important it is to me to be there, and that's why, you know, many of you said, you know, you listen and you were there available for us, because that's what I do, that's our job, and I take it very seriously. So I thank you again for the support, and I'm hoping that my members of council listen to the people that elected us in here and elect me for president. Thank you.
In the absence of any other discussion, the clerk We'll now call the roll. Each council member shall respond with the name of the person they are voting for the office of president.
Mr. Callahan.
Councilwoman Ogun Negron.
Mr. Cologne.
Adam Waldron.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Adam Waldron.
Ms. Negron.
Olga Negron.
Mr. Reynolds.
Adam Waldron.
Dr. Van Wert.
Olga Negron.
Mr. Waldron.
Adam Waldron.
The result of the vote is 4 votes for Mr. Waldron, 3 votes for Ms. Negron. Mr. Waldron is elected president. Nominations are now in order for the office of Vice President of Council for the term January 2020 to January 2022. Ms. Negron.
I nominate Councilwoman Van Wert.
Dr. Van Wert is nominated. Are there other nominations for the office of Vice President of Council? Any other nominations for the office of Vice President of Council? Mr. Callahan?
I nominate Mr. Cologne.
Mr. Cologne is nominated. Are there other nominations for the office of Vice President of Council? Other nominations for the office of Vice President of Council? Hearing none, the nominations are closed. In the absence of any, is there discussion? Mr. Reynolds.
I just wanted to make one comment, and that's that during my 12 years on City Council, I've learned a lot. I think I am a better elected official than I was before, but I can tell you this, is that these decisions are much, much, much less important than the overall relationship between the members of council, the members of council and the public, the members of council and the administration. And the potential for great things to happen in this room comes down to our ability to work together. And I think that now that I'm not president anymore, I think that I actually have a better perspective on how things should be in order for us to have the best city that we have. So I know that when we have these elections, sometimes it seems as if, you know, people are voting for different people, but I can say the future of this city comes down to our ability to work together and establish relationships. And I just wanted that to be said. Thank you, Mr. Spur.
Is there other discussion on the question of the election of Vice President, Mr. Wolf?
Before we get into a conversation about Dr. Van Wert and Mr. Cologne, I would turn to Ms. Negron and see, in fact, if she would want to continue as Vice President in that role or not.
No, thank you.
Understood.
Other discussion, Mr. Cologne.
Thank you, Mr. Spurk. Thank you, Mr. Callahan, for the nomination. I'll just say this. I had reached out to President Waldron back in the fall, kind of talking to him, knowing that, you know, this moment would come up after we had the reorganization, knowing we'd have to vote on president again, vote on vice president again. And at that time, back in the fall, whenever it was, around Halloween time, I told him I was very content and happy with the job he had been doing and would gladly, as I did tonight, support him if he would, to continue with that. And when it comes to the role of vice president, it's not something I've given any thought to. I had no prior discussions with any members of council of anyone who wanted it. I do appreciate the nomination, and that said, if the other members of council, who I have respect for all other 6 members of our city council, would want me to represent this body as the vice president, that's a role I would gladly fill in, with the understanding, of course, I don't think there's another set of twins coming in the Waldron household anytime soon, but in the event that President Waldron could not be there, I would gladly fill in that role in his absence. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Dr.
Van. I'll just say, I think there's some lack of clarity about the role of vice president and what it really means, and if it truly is a symbolic position. Certainly you fill in when the president isn't there. I do think that there is some real power in the symbolism, even of a vice presidential role, in that when Mr. Grubb spoke, it really hit me hard that it has been almost 40 years since there's been a female president of City Council. And that's not for want of qualified candidates. And I would ask us to ask ourselves, why is that? I think that we lost an opportunity tonight that would have meant a lot to a lot of people in this community, a lot of women in this community, a lot of people from the South Side, a lot of Puerto Rican people in this community. So I just would say that I would accept this role as vice president because I do think that the time has come for leadership of women on city council, and I'll even say a female mayor of Bethlehem. So I would accept this role if I was chosen by my fellow council members. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Other discussion on the question? If not, clerk, call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Councilman Michael Cologne.
Mr. Cologne.
Michael Cologne.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Councilman Cologne.
Ms. Negron.
Dr. Van Wert.
Mr. Reynolds.
Dr. Van Wert.
Dr. Van Wert.
Myself.
Mr. Waldron.
Michael Cologne.
The vote is 4 votes for Mr. Cologne, 3 votes for Dr. Van Wert. Mr. Cologne is elected vice president. And the president will now assume the chair.
So if we could go to the old stairs.
Continue our agenda this evening with public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. So this would be an opportunity for anyone to make comment on any issue they'd like to. I'll start again on this side of the room if there's anyone who'd like to make comment. Moving into the center. Yes. Yes, please. It's difficult to hear without the microphone.
Peg Church, 435 Branchett Street. When a person becomes either a council member, a president of council, are there any guidelines as to their being mentored or coached or learning the Roberts Rules of Order? Because one of the concerns that comes to my mind in Roberts Rules of Order is that one person should not be attributing motives to another person, and I question that all the members of council understand that fundamental part of Robert's Rules of Order. So getting back to my question again, is there any way that there are any standards? I mean, we get tested and quizzed. I come from working in the public school system where there isn't much that they don't test. Do people learn the Robert's Rules of Orders, or is it okay if they know nothing about them and don't have competency in that area?
I take it that it's not a rhetorical question.
Any way people want to answer and assure all of us as citizens that there's some rigor to the role of council person in regards to Robert's Rules of Orders, again with a special emphasis and understanding that a person should not be attributing motives to someone else, to what someone is saying. And that when that happens, it's not a First Amendment thing. They need to stop, according to Robert's Rules of Law.
Robert's Rules of Order also does not allow for clapping, but again, my soft gavel. Is there anyone else in the center who would like to make comment?
Is that the only answer?
I'm sorry, to answer your question.
I take to be a little flip, excuse me.
Yeah. To answer your question?
A flip answer. I don't consider that a real answer.
I'm trying to answer it.
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you. There is no official training for the president of council in regards to Robert's Rules. There are ongoing conversations between the council president
and the solicitor for city council, who is, I would say, an expert on Robert's Rules. Those conversations happen fluidly, sometimes within the meeting, as I will often turn over to Mr. Spurk for advice. And those conversations also happen privately when I ask him for his opinion on how things can be handled and get his personal thoughts on the approach to Robert's Rules, as well as city council rules, which also govern how our meetings are run.
So that, to me, it sounds like on the job training, that nothing is coming in the gate.
Correct.
Okay.
Is there anyone else in the center? Yes, in the front.
I will mention, this is very disappointing to me, but I guess that's the way it rolls.
I'm sorry, would you say your name and
address? Oh, sorry, Lisa Rosa, 22 Fernwood.
Thank you, Ms. Rosa.
That first city council meeting was out of hand. And yes, I understand where you like to rule with the softer hand, but sometimes the softer hand doesn't work, especially when you're attacking your own members. Because it shows a lack of respect. And if there's one thing in a Hispanic's world, is respect is very important. You don't show disrespect to other people. Don't laugh in their faces. Don't talk about them. You know, that's just the way I live. I'm an honest person. I won't lie if it buries me. Because you start with one, many come after that. What I've seen here, I'm hoping that you all listen to the concerns of everyone that has spoken up, listen to the fact that you have ruled with the soft hand. And in ways, yes, I do appreciate it because you've given me more time. And I really do appreciate that. And I don't mean to be rude or disrespectful. But it does not look good for this city if you are fighting amongst each other. And it's in the paper. Do you also realize these recordings are on YouTube? Everybody in the world can see them. You know, really think about your actions before doing them, because I want pride in my city. I don't want to have to be embarrassed answering questions to people that live three states away. And God knows, I use Facebook to help other people because I have had many things happen in my life that I have overcome. And I try to help people that have depression, who are suicidal, who need help and resources. I mean, I used to work at a nonprofit, and I do it because I have a huge heart. I love my city, I love these people, and I'm very passionate. And unfortunately, that is a Hispanic trait, but you know what? Sometimes that passion is needed. People need to realize that everybody is watching you. You are representing us. You know, you may think the smallest little thing, oh, you know what, that'll pass by. No, it won't. Somebody sees it, and it'll get somewhere else, and it'll keep spreading and spreading and spreading. Just like what happened in the mayor's office. You know, that would never have happened with my dad around, because he would have beat my butt. Because you don't show disrespect to each other. That's just not the way life should be. And all I ask is that you respect each other as well as everyone here that comes out for their home, who wants to fight for their home and want a safe home to live in. Okay? That's all I ask. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the center? Mr. Caratola?
The problem that I presented before, I have a solution for, but I ran out of time before. So the solution for the people that have, that are grandfathered in, to have their trap used by 5 or 10 other people in a row of houses because it's grandfathered in, but the houses were built by one person before, but now they're owned by different people. The solution is that they make the, they put an amendment to the article that is on that grandfathered in situation, that everybody is responsible for any of the waste that goes into the basement of the person that has that trap. Not that it all falls in that person's thing. One of the things that could assure that is every single one, every one of the houses has to put a straight fit, main line, full port, back water valve onto each of their houses, blocking anything that blocks the trap, that will block the trap to the neighbor. That landlord has to put it to the other one and right on up the line. They will be responsible for their own waste. That neighbor has to go ahead and do the same thing for the one over there, to what goes up to the one, the last one, then his toilet will overflow, or her toilet will overflow if they put something in to block the thing. Not that it goes all the way down to somebody else's property. That's the proper solution. That would be fair. Everyone should be responsible for their own waste. Not that it leans on to one other person. That's the idea behind it. It's very simple, and it's very fair, and it's very affordable. It's about $100 to $150 for the valve, and about $200 for maintenance. And everyone should be able to do that if they're going to use the trap of the other person. And, as well, it should be that for maintenance sake of that trap that has to go for the person, there should be money put in escrow, or so much rent should be paid each month, $40 a month for each person to use the trap. That's fair enough. And then that could take care of the maintenance situation of the trap. Also, the city takes care of the situation if there's a backflow of the city sewer going back into the person's property. That's taken care of by the city, so you don't have to worry about that. Or people don't have to worry about that. But still, there's a lot of people that have this situation going on, not just me, in the city, where they are grandfathered in as being the huckleberry for every single house up the line. The back, straight fit, mainline, backwater valve is the answer. And a certain amount of rent or money put in escrow by all the landlords should be done for every house that's in there. That should be an amendment and added into the article that goes with the grandfathered in of the trap, of the trap that is the common trap for everybody else. I got it in. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Caratella. Mr. Gallagher?
There's time for one more.
Is that all the time?
60 seconds.
Okay, 5 minutes?
No.
I guess I'd like to say that Ed Gallagher, 49 West Greenwich, fight the good fight. I guess I'd like to say that the way I think of you all is as family. So what I will say is not against any individual. I think of you all as family. I try to write on Gadfly about you all as family. I used a line from the mayor's op-ed as a headline on Gadfly this week, that Bethlehem will continue to be the jewel of the Lehigh Valley. I'm disappointed tonight. I think Bethlehem had a chance to do something bold, and didn't. And I'm not sure why. It doesn't seem like the kind of choice that would have bothered lots of other places. So I'm disappointed in my family tonight. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment? Yes, sir.
Marino Hernandez, 422 Taylor Street. So I think a lot of you have a lot of balls to have voted how you voted tonight against the will of the people. I think that except for Olga and except for Wirt, that you don't represent the will of the people, you represent special interests, something. I had a feeling that you were going to vote that way, and I'm very disappointed. I would consider you as family. You guys, like, serve other interests, except for Olga, except for Wirt, Dr. Wirt. Like, we're going to remember this vote. And that's all I have to say.
Is there anyone else who'd like to make a comment? All right. We will continue along with our agenda. I'd like to take this moment to thank Judge Barada, who's stepped out this evening, for coming out to administer the oath of office for the newly elected treasurer and council members. We appreciate his time. I'd also like to thank all the friends and family and residents who came to be part of this evening to support our newly elected members who were sworn in as well. And congratulations to Kaya Farber, Councilman Cologne, Councilwoman Crimsey Smith, Councilwoman Dr. Van Wert, and Councilman Reynolds, who are each sworn in this evening as well. And I'll turn to the mayor if you have anything you'd like to add. Thank you. And then lastly, our benediction by Minister Mabel Humphrey. If everyone would please stand.
Pray that as we leave here, that all hearts will be mended and healed. Let us just pray. This is your benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To our God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Minister Humphrey. Thank you, everyone else, for coming out this evening. This meeting is adjourned.